Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. When we're born again, the Bible tells us that we're born babes, spiritual babies, just like you're not born fully developed adult naturally. Well, you're born a spiritual baby. And the scripture says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So when you're born again, you need to be fed immediately. And you're not able to take strong meat. You need the milk of the word. But if you receive the milk of the word and you get some exercise in it, you will grow. And then as you grow and develop, you're able to take stronger and stronger word of God. And if you continue to exercise your faith and following the Lord, being led by the Spirit, doing what He tells you to do, you'll develop and you'll grow stronger and stronger and stronger. That's why we start off the class about, becoming stronger and getting your spirit fed and being an overcomer. These are not things when you're born again, you know all of it and you've already arrived. No, you're at a point of beginning. And so that's why we have Faith School, is to on a regular basis get fed. And not just fed what I think or some other man or woman thinks, but fed the anointed, it is written. The anointed word of God, because that's what Jesus said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds and comes out of the mouth of God. So let's believe for that today. Lord, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the anointed bread from heaven, the anointed manna from you, the words that feed our spirit and cause things to be created in us and with us and changed in us and for us. We ask for the utterance of these words. We ask for the anointing and for everyone to receive just what we need today. And we'll give you the praise and thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, for the last number of weeks, we've been on a series here in Faith School that we're calling Faith for Provision. And we're asking and answering the question, is it God's will for us to have provision and even abundant provision? Now, the reason why we spend so much time on is it His will, what His will is, because you can't have faith for a thing that you're unsure if it's God's will.
Amen.
Cannot. As long as you are questioning, then you are wavering. And that's what James warns about and says, if you ask for something, you must ask in faith and not wavering, because if you waver, he said, you're like the waves of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Well, that means you're up, you're down, you're up, you're not stable. What does that mean? Well, maybe it's His will, maybe it's not. I hope so. We just don't know. He said, don't let that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. Well, we don't want to receive nothing from the Lord. We want to receive something from the Lord, right? Well, so what you have to do is you've got whatever area that is that you're wanting to believe God for something. The first step is it His will? That's the first step. And if you say, well, the will of God is so mysterious, how can we know? Well, then you're not going to have faith. You're just, giving up and saying, I can't know the will of God. Well, the Bible tells us, don't be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, He must have thought we could know.
Right.
He even told us we're responsible to find out. And that's what this wonderful book, the Bible, is for, is Somebody says, well, how can we know His will? His Word reveals His will. If you see it in His Word, He's not going to change. Not in 1,000 centuries. Whatever He said, it'll always be that way. That's His will, that's His way, that's His plan. So when we say, having faith for provision, faith to pay our bills, faith to get our needs met for our family, our kids, our grandkids, resources for a place to live and clothes to wear and whatever we need, this is provision. Is it God's will for us to have it?
Yes.
And to have how much of it? Well, how are you going to answer that question? You must not just be vague and general and bounce around with everybody and their brother and sister's opinion and theory. Go to the source.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Go to the source and get it is written, and then you will know His will. And once you are established in His will, you got the foundation for faith. You can have faith, and even though the enemy might try to attack you and try to confuse you, you will be standing on a solid rock going, I know. It is His will. I'm not backing off on this. And it gives you the strength to persevere. And you will receive. Through faith and perseverance, you will receive. So that's why we take so much time to establish what His will is. And also, during the actual process of hearing His words that reveals His will, that's how faith gets into you. While you're hearing Him tell you what His will is, the spiritual force of faith comes out of His words into your being. Faith comes by hearing. So we've been for weeks now feeding on this, and faith has been coming into us for provision. And we have become convinced, and if you're just joining us, you're in a good place. But go online to faithschool.org and get the previous. I think we're down to reason number 18 now. So get the previous 17 reasons. We spent a lot of time on that. It's available to you. No charge, no commitment. Go get it, faithschool.org. And then you can pick up with us here. And we're giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure that God's will is abundant provision for us all. Why don't you say it out loud? Abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will,
for us all.
Now, why do we say that? It is written. See, we're giving you not one, not two, not 10, not 20, 30. And that's not an exhaustive list. Reasons from Scripture why we are sure it is His will. Say it again, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always
God's will
for me. How often?
Always.
Today?
Always.
This week?
Always.
This month?
Always.
Pay all your bills?
Always.
Everything you need?
Always.
Say it again, abundant provision,
abundant provision
is always God's will for us all. Our first reason that we gave was number one, the Lord is my shepherd. I mean, what Christian, what church going person doesn't like the 23rd Psalm? Huh? And the first verse is what? The Lord is my shepherd. Help me out.
I shall not want.
That word translated want in the same King James Bible, other places translated lack. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. Listen to other translations of this. Young's Literal said it like that. Jehovah is my shepherd, I do not lack. The NIV, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. God's Word translation, the Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need. Does that sound good?
Yes.
Holman says, the Lord is my shepherd, there is nothing I lack. The NIRV says, the Lord is my shepherd. He gives me everything I need. The BBE says, the Lord takes care of me. As his sheep, I will not be without any good thing. And then easy to read says, the Lord is my shepherd. I will always have everything I need. Where's poverty in that? Where's lack in that? Well, see, where does these doctrines come from then? That it could be God's will that you experience lack. And maybe that's part of his plan for your life. Well, that's men trying to explain things they don't understand. But God doesn't change. And if it was ever the good shepherd that causes you not to lack, he'll always be the good shepherd who causes you not to lack. Come on, say it out loud. The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I shall not be in want.
I shall not be in want.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
There is nothing I lack.
There is nothing I lack.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything I need.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
The Lord is my good shepherd.
I will always
have everything.
Have everything.
I need.
Well, I didn't write that. You didn't write that. Did God say that? Is that his word? Then that's his will. So then we went on to number two, the goodness of God, the fatherhood of God, the creation of God, God's will in heaven, the God of Abraham, we're the seed of Abraham, the blessing of tithing, honor and riches, wisdom and wealth, being imitators of God, the great I am, the names of God, the God of restoration, provision in the wilderness, the promised land, the covenant blessing. All of these are our previous 17 reasons why we are sure. Abundant provision is always God's will for us all. Not one of these places did we see anything about God wanting us to be in lack or in need, but always that he is our provider and he's the God of plenty. Like we said, when we studied the names of God, we saw Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shammah. We saw El Shaddai. We never saw El Cheapo, right? We never saw anything that would make us think that God likes bleak, barren, minimalist. And so you got whole groups that get into this thing, that somehow it makes you more spiritual if you live a Spartan, minimalist life. Yeah, but who came up with that? Did God say that? Did that come from the Word? No, that's men's ideas. And the reason why people are so big on men's ideas is because they can glory in their own ideas. Mm-hmm. Right? This is something they came up with, and this is how they are making themselves more spiritual, more whatever, but it's not godly. It's not godlike. We talked about being an imitator of God. If he wants you to practice poverty, he sure doesn't practice it himself. Right?
Right?
How does he live? How does he? And yet he's the one said, be an imitator of me. Act like me. Follow like me. Well, then I guess we need a house with streets of gold and we need jeweled gates. Well, what about our future? I mean, if you're big into poverty and lack, you're not going to enjoy heaven. Right? I mean, heaven is off the charts. Is that right? You talk about rich. You talk about wonderful. You talk about amazing. So if you don't like riches and wealth and gold and silver and precious jewels, talk to God. He made them. It's his idea. It's his future. It's his plan. I'm all for it. How about y'all? I'm all for it. Well, go with me to Galatians, the third chapter, if you would. Galatians chapter 3. We got down to our 17th point in our study that we called the covenant blessing. We saw that God has always been a covenant God. He reveals himself, and he makes commitment and he requires commitment in covenants. He made a covenant with Noah and his descendants after the flood. He made a covenant with Abraham. He made covenant with David. He made covenant with Israel, his people, the whole nation. And a covenant is a contract of commitments and promises and requirements between two or more parties. And when you enter into covenant with someone, you are making commitments and you are making what you have available to them. And you are acknowledging that if you break this covenant, there are serious consequences. And of course, the greatest to benefit from a covenant is when the lesser makes covenant with the greater. Hallelujah. Now, it's super that everything we are and everything we have, God gets in the covenant. Hallelujah. But when everything He is and has, we get, we're the ones really benefiting from this covenant. But the covenant can be broken. And sadly, that has been the history, that men have repeatedly broken covenant with God with disastrous results. And so much so that the Father had to plan from the beginning, knowing what men would do in breaking the covenant, that He would enter into covenant with a man, His own Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. As who's also the seed of Abraham and the seed of David. And in doing so, He would be in covenant with man, but Jesus as representative man. And then those who put their faith in Jesus, they are now also heirs with God and joint heirs. Oh, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Jesus, the head of the church. We have barely scratched the surface of this, of what this is. And this is our future going into eternity. We are in covenant with the Almighty, creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe. And we are now, by faith in Christ, adopted into the family, His forever family, that shall rule and reign with Him in the kingdom that shall have no end.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God.
Glory.
Well, what's happening right now in this life is it's a form of faith school. It's a place to learn how to be led by the Spirit, a place to learn to overcome on what eventually will turn out to be some smaller things, because the bigger things come later. But to prove that we'd be faithful in a little thing, and that we'd be faithful in that which is another man's, that which is his. And so we're to learn valuable lessons of walking by faith, of obedience of faith, of walking in love, of being led by the Spirit in this short lifetime span that we're having right now, that is, depending on how we do, qualifying us for various levels of place in the kingdom. Now, not qualifying us to be saved or lost. Our faith in Christ puts us in the family. But our place in the kingdom, you might say it like this, our righteousness is not based on our works. But our reward is based on our works, what we do in this life. And so we need to know some things about the covenant, about God's will and God's ways, and do what He wants us to do for His plan in our life. We looked back at Leviticus 26, and we also looked at Deuteronomy 28, where a lot of detail is given about the covenant that God made with His people Israel. And you might say, well, yeah, but Brother Keith, you know, that's Old Testament. That's back with them. Listen, God doesn't change. He never changes. You will see some of the same elements in the covenant that He made with Noah, Abraham, and through Moses and on. You'll see some of the same elements because He's the same God. He's going to make the same kind of commitments and requirements, just giving more detail in some situations. It's progressive as you go. But we saw that he said, basically, if you listen to me, you'll be blessed. If you won't listen to me, you'll be cursed. So in Galatians 3:13, it says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Is this something we need to know as New Testament Christians?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Well, where's Galatians? In the New Testament, right? Doesn't get any more New Testament than Galatians. Is this something we need to know?
Yes.
Why? How does this affect us? Why do we need to know this? A lot of church-going people, if you asked them, are you redeemed? They've heard that word before, so they'd probably go immediately, oh, yeah, I'm redeemed. And if you said, from what? A lot of times you have lost much of the church world right there. Mm-hmm. They go, and they might say, from hell. Well, that's not what he said. Right? Yeah, thank God. If you're saved, you're not going to hell. Yeah. But that's not what this says. Yes. So what's he talking about? See, if you don't know what the curse of the law is, you don't understand your own redemption. Yeah. You don't know what you're redeemed from. And the way the enemy works, he takes advantage of ignorance. If you don't know what belongs to you, he'll steal it from you. He's a thief. If you don't know what you don't have to have, he'll put it on you, and his cohorts will work it against your life. And if you don't know that you don't have to have it, and sadly, the enemy's doing this, And blaming God. Mm-hmm. And people are enduring, Christians, good Christian people are enduring bad things that are killing, stealing, destroying in their life because they don't know they've been redeemed from it, and they believe that God has some purpose in doing it in their life. And so the enemy has just deceived them, going and coming. But Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Somebody say, thank you for the truth. Here is one of the greatest truths you will ever hear. Are you with me, class? Said out loud, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Well, we better find out what the curse of the law is, right? So we can know what we've been redeemed from. He goes on to say, being made a curse for us. That's how he did it. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Jesus was not a helpless victim when they crucified him. He allowed them to do this. It was prophesied centuries and centuries before that he would be hung on a tree, on wood, on a cross. And it was prophesied all those centuries before, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Now today, you know, the cross symbolizes Christianity, and people wear them, you know, a necklace or an earring or whatever. And I'm not knocking that. But in the day that Jesus was crucified, the cross was like the electric chair. Y'all understand what I'm saying? It was not, there was nothing glorified about it. It was the worst of the worst criminals were crucified, were nailed to a pieces of wood and left to die a slow, agonizing death. So it was a reproach. To die on the cross was one of the worst deaths, and it was for the worst criminals. And well, why did it happen to Jesus? Because he became a curse in our place. And it was portrayed centuries before when Moses was told to raise up a serpent on the pole in the wilderness, a snake of brass on a pole. And yet John tells us that's a type of Jesus on the cross. A snake on a pole is a type of Jesus? Yes, because what happened on the cross was not pretty. Jesus became sin with all the sin of all generations of human beings, past, present, and future. We have no concept of what that is, how bad that is. Think about all the evil human beings are doing just right now in our day, and all that sin converging on him. He didn't just empathize with it. He became it. And judgment fell on him there. Oh, but he didn't end there, did it? After the third day, he was raised from the dead, free from it, and he sealed the new covenant with his own blood on the mercy seat, having risen from the dead. And that new covenant you and I are in today with God. Come on, say it out loud. I have
an eternal covenant
with the Almighty God, the Father,
by my faith
in Jesus.
Amen.
I have an eternal covenant. So we definitely need to understand covenant. We need to understand what we've been redeemed from. And notice the rest of the passage here. He said, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it's written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Well, why is he talking about Abraham? Like I said, God never changes, whether it's a covenant with Abraham or all the way to our covenant. He hadn't changed, and his will and his ways hasn't changed. We got delivered, redeemed from the curse, and got qualified for the blessing because of what Jesus did. Somebody say, I have a covenant. I'm redeemed. And I am blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. And our time is up for today. Well, when you get excited, it passes by pretty quick, doesn't it? Well, as you can see, we're just getting this out. Just read our text, actually. So we're just getting into this. Come back tomorrow, and we'll shout some more about our great covenant with God. We'll see you here soon in Faith School. I've got the victory
living inside. Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.